I don't know if you're like me, but I remember grandma's homemade biscuits. Anybody else out there, you just remember, make your tongue slap your brain. And I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I like their biscuits, and I like Bojangles, and I love Hardee's. Pardon my grammar. They ain't grandma's. Something about just, I don't know if it was in the dough. I don't know if it was the way she patted it down. Seriously, that's why we've been teaching these kids on Sunday night this country cooking, so that they can teach their grandkids how to make homemade biscuits. Now, we need to get to the gravy, but we're doing this one step at a time. When we come to Romans chapter 7, Grandma's famous biscuit recipe is like the law. It has strict measurements, exact steps. But my girls always complained, "Daddy, these just don't taste," and I would say that, "like Miss Lorraine's do, or like my grandma's did. It's just, they didn't quite measure up." Last week, a week and a half ago, one of my buddies called me. He says, "Hey, Neil, I'm making lunch at my office, and I'm inviting several guys over. Why don't you come over and eat?" So, all right. So I showed up on a Thursday afternoon, a week and a half ago, and showed up, and they had just incredible, and I'm not a huge vegetable person, but like butter beans and corn and black-eyed peas and green beans. And then they had these homemade biscuits that were just to die for. Now, my buddy, and they had fried chicken and they had pork chops, and my buddy didn't make it. He had a lady, an older grandma who worked for him. She made it all. And so I am raving, not just saying that was good. I am raving over her homemade biscuits. She said, "Well, I hate to let you know, Reverend, they're out of a bag." She said they were frozen. I was like, no, I've seen the fake. You know those fake KFC? This is not fake KFC. I mean, this is the real. She said, "Believe what you want. Those are frozen." Well, that's what we learned today. With the law, we're straining, we're striving, and we never quite measure up. And yet when we come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, we can't do it. We're not good enough." Jesus gives it to us freely right there before us. Now, Romans 6, we saw Paul took us to a graveyard where we died, where we were buried, and we were resurrected in Christ to newness of life in Christ. Well, in Romans 7, we move from a graveyard to a wedding scene. And he shows us this wedding album. And what's so great about this wedding album is you're in the picture. So Romans 6, we died with Christ. Romans 7, don't miss it. We are married with Christ. That's what Romans 7 is all about. Every believer who experienced the burial of Romans 6 will experience the wedding of Romans 7 and ultimately the victorious Christian life of Romans chapter 8. So this morning, three truths for bearing fruit in Christ. Sermon that I'm entitled, Lessons About Death, Divorce, and Marriage. First truth is this. Notice the reason for the law. Romans 7 verse 1. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So he refers to them as brethren. So he's talking to the Jewish brethren, for those who know the law. Not so specifically talking about the Mosaic law, but just the law at that time, the judicial law. And he says, "Know you not?" It's a rhetorical question. You're supposed to know this. You are supposed to know the judicial law. And what he says, the law has jurisdiction over a person, but only while he's alive. Good news. For those of us who have gotten a few speeding tickets in our life, once you die, you will never get another speeding ticket because dead people don't get speeding tickets. Amen? You got a few tickets as well. You can't be sued if you're dead. You can't bring a corpse before a judge and a jury and they convict a dead person. So what he's saying is, look at the last part of the verse. How the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So the reason for the law, make living people obey it. But it only applies to those who are alive. The law can only enforce, only monitor, only sentence, and only condemn those who have a pulse. Once you're dead, you're free from Uncle Sam. No more paying taxes. You're free from the speeding limits or all of the laws, the Ten Commandments, as well as everybody else. Let me illustrate like this. How many of you in your life have had a hard, difficult job or a hard, difficult boss? Anybody in here had a hard, difficult job or hard, difficult boss? Come on, come on, come on. This side, no hard, difficult. Okay, there's a few of you. Man, I have hard jobs and hard bosses. That represents the law. The law has no mercy. The law has no kindness. The law has no forgiveness. It's either you meet up or you don't. That's what the law is. How many of you ever had a great job with a great boss? Come on, I need to see some hands up there in the balcony. Yep, something. That's what new life in Christ is. He's encouraging. He's empowering. Hey, yeah, you do it not because you have to. You do it because you want to. That's the difference between the old life, the law, and the new life in Christ. Number one, the reason for the law. Number two, notice the restrictions of the law. Verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So till death do us part is not just a nice idea. It's God's idea. It is stamped on the heart of everyone, I'm here to say, everywhere in the world. Unbeliever that comes to take his to marriage vows. He doesn't come till death do his part and say, wait a minute. That's just for Christians. No, because it's stamped on his heart that till death do his part is for everybody. That's what it's saying here. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. So in this time period, divorce, even in the Jewish community, was rampant. Women, and I don't like this, and some of you women are going to gasp. Women were discarded very easily. Rabbis use Moses' words, a man could divorce his wife for adultery or for uncleanness. And they defined uncleanness that anything that displeased the man. Some of you say, I don't like that time period. You didn't live in that time period. One rabbi during this time period taught that if the husband did not like the meal that the wife put before him, he could divorce her. I told you were getting ready to gasp, didn't I? Some of you ladies are saying, that's why I don't cook anymore. Look at verse 2 again. So long as he lives. Marriage for life was a radical thought in this time period. Understand how wicked and perverse and wild they were. Greek world, prostitution, homosexuality, pedophilia were common. Most of the emperors in this time period were bisexual. If you were heterosexual, men marrying women, you were considered old-fashioned and boring. Now let me just pause. And this really is not talking about marriage. He just uses marriage as an example. Marriage takes work. So let me just pause for those of you who have been married less than a year, and those of you who've been married almost 90 years. So I think I'm covering everybody. Marriage takes work. Now I realize you thought you were marrying Cinderella. It doesn't matter if you did marry Cinderella. Marriage takes work. Now I'm going to push you, both of you, because it takes work for both parties. Some of you put more work into your car or your tractor than you do your marriage. Amen? Ladies, help me out here. Amen? And come on, ladies. Y'all love all, I don't know what ladies do, but y'all are into y'all's thing a whole lot more than you are to your husband. And you didn't make a vow till death do us part to your husband. So that's my rant. Look at verse 3. So then, while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So marriage laws are only binding while both parties are alive. So if Leroy kicks the bucket and you've been married 6 years or 60 years, you are a widow and you're free to go get married again. One exception. Unless you help him kick the bucket and you knock him over, you're not going to go remarry. You're going to jail. But nobody doubts a widow is free from the law and is not bound to her former husband. That's what he's saying. So, verse 1, you were under the law as long as you're alive. And then he gives you this example of marriage. You are bound, it's till death do us part, as long as your spouse is alive. But once your spouse passes away, you are free to go remarry. Let me explain it like this. Some of us in our lifetimes have just made some unwise financial decisions for whatever reason. And maybe we were burdened down with just debt, stress, anxious, pressure. That's the law. The law, just no mercy, pay your bills. But yet you have a benefactor come in, pays off your debt, and the pressure, the anxiousness, the relief is gone. That's the law. And that's what Jesus does. Number 2, the restrictions of the law. It only applies while you're living. Say, preacher, I don't think I follow you. Hang with me, you will. Look at verse 4. The replacement of the law. Look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, it's in light of all that he's just said. Wherefore, therefore, in light of this, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So the law doesn't die. I mean, it's not a person. It's not a breathing. The law doesn't have a pulse. So the law doesn't die. Who died? You died. Romans 6, you died with Christ. You were buried and you rose again. So when you died with Christ, you died to the bondage, the the pressure, the anxiousness of what the law brings. Now look at the verse again. Ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Here's my hanky, I'm waving it. Here's the reason. That you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. So you died with Christ, Romans 6. So you could be married to Christ, Romans 7. Now you remember when you got married? You remember those wedding vows, don't you? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. Wedding vows. You remember? Yeah. This is an arranged wedding. How many of you like the idea, the thought of arranged marriages? How many of you like the idea of arranged marriage for your children or your grandchildren? Well, there was a change. All right, this is arranged marriage. The Father is giving His Son to you. So this is a marriage between you and Christ. The Spirit asks you, for better or for worse. You say, I do. Rich or poor. You say, I do. Sickness and in health. You say, I do. Forsaking all others. You say, yeah, I do. Till death do us part. Hold on a second. I already died. That's the whole reason I got here. I died Romans 6. I died with Christ. And I've been raised together. So no. I'm not going to die again spiritually. I'm going to live forever with Christ. That's what he's talking about. And I've done a zillion weddings. One of my great fears is weddings. Sometimes my ADD just kicks in, and I'm looking at crying mamas and crying daddies and crying brides, and I just forget the name. And so I'm like, Billy, will you take Barbara to be your wedded wife, to have it a hole from this door forward to death do us part? And he says, I'm not marrying Barbara, I'm marrying Billie Jean. And so literally, if you look at all of my notes, the names, and I don't care if it's my kids or who it is, I have their names very bold in a different color. Listen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I take Jesus Christ. Hey, I died with Christ. That's first step. Second step, I am married with Christ. Hold on a second. You remember what comes after the wedding? Revelation 19 tells us it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I like weddings. But my favorite part of the wedding is the reception. If they have good cake and if they have Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not even staying if they don't have good cake and if they don't have good Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets. I'm not staying. I'll send my regrets. I got something else to do. But. Marriage supper of the Lamb. They got cake like you have never seen before in your life. And they don't even know Chick-fil-A because their stuff is so much better. And the best part, you know, I mean, they do these pictures at weddings forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And everybody's just waiting around. I'm over the Chick-fil-A. Will they hurry up and get here? Here's the best part of the pictures. Can you imagine you standing there with the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah! There he is. How did I get here? Being married to him. And you see in his hands the nail prints. You see in his face, and you say, oh yeah, I died. Neil Jackson is no more alive. I died and I've been raised in Christ, newness of life. And I said, I do. You say, why? What's this all about? Look at the last part of the verse. Ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that's Jesus, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's why you died and were raised to in Christ. That's why you were married, so that you can bring forth fruit unto God. You look at verse 5. In the old life, you brought fruit unto death. But now, verse 6, being dead wherein you were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. I love it. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So you are filled with the fruits of Jesus. Now look back at the verse and I'll try to wrap this up. All of this is about because God loves you. You were buried with him in death, spiritually, married with him, so that you should bring forth fruit unto God. You see those two words? Bring forth fruit. How many of you, well, let me see a show of hands. How many of you have ever had a job where it was straight commission? Whatever you sold, you got a commission off of. If you didn't sell anything, you didn't get paid any money. Anybody, come on, let me see hands. Anybody, okay. Here's the deal with that. If you worked hard, you can make a lot of money. And if you were lazy, you were going to starve. A lot of people are smart. They say, well, I don't want a job like that because you got to work so hard and it takes so long to build up. Hey, look at the verse. That you should bring forth fruit unto God. You go to John chapter 15. He says it's not us that's producing the fruit. We bear fruit. This is shouting time. I'm not stressing. I'm not striving. I'm not, oh no, I got this deadline. I got this quota. I got to perform. I got to bear fruit. Not when you bear it to Jesus. Jesus is going to bear the fruit through you. So you go to work, you go into those family environments, you go into the neighborhood, to the neighbors, and Jesus gives you the love. Jesus gives you the joy that you don't have. He gives you the kindness. He gives you the mercy. He gives you the long-suffering. He gives you the patience. He gives you the gentleness, something you don't have. But because you are married to him, he gives you what you don't have. Remember those first few days after you got married? Some of us had been single for a while. We were used to looking out for us, not used to looking out for someone else. So we were used to doing it our way, and we had to learn to start doing it her way. It took some time. You had to learn what married life was about. So it is with Christianity. We've been living the old life for a long time. And we don't realize that we are now married with Christ. I think this is one of the biggest fallacies that Christians don't get. You're married with Christ. So therefore, because you are married with Christ, everything that Christ has is available to you. Everything that you need, you go to Christ and say, hey, I died with you and I'm married with you. So therefore, this is not my problem. This is our problem. I need you to help us with our problem. And just as they sang, he'll give you everything. He'll give you everything. But some of us are so used to being single. Oh, I can do it. I got to figure this out. I got to straighten this out. And I'm saying, do you realize who you're married to? You're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you're married to Him, you are co-heirs with all His stuff. So every problem you have is Jesus' problem. Stop being a single person and realize, no. I have the best spouse in all the world. It's Jesus. And He'll give me everything. He'll give me everything. Look at the verse 4 one more time. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Tracy and I were watching a television show this week. This restaurant bakery that had been around for a long time. The owners got tired and the owners shut it down. Well, a master baker heard that this restaurant was closing down and went in and said, no, I want to take your name. I want to take your recipes, and I want to add some to it, but I want to open it back up. I want to add some money to it. I want to jive it up a little bit. I want to give it a facelift, and I want to relaunch it. And we watched as they did it, and how this restaurant thrived, and it grew, and it expanded, and I was just looking at the desserts and licking my tongue, or lipping my lips, saying, man, I don't know how you lick your tongue, but licking my lips, saying, man, that looks good. Look what it says. That we should bring forth fruit. Not so you can brag about it. Unto Him who's worthy for it, the Lord Jesus. And all He's done for you, you say, Jesus, I'm married to You. I want to be the best spouse I can possibly be to show the world I love my spouse, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do.